This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Afternoon, Rutherford County. I want to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive, where they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shelbyville, Tennessee area. Their large selection ensures that they have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. And for a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. At Stan McNabb Automotive, they pride themselves in the quality that they offer on all of their used cars, which makes them a major destination for used vehicles. And only at Stan McNabb can you get free oil changes and free tires for the life of that vehicle. It looks like that we've got some stormy weather out here, and I have the perfect man in here with me, Mr. Harry Gill, who has weathered many a storm in his life and actually an expert on it. Yeah. You and I kind of had ships kind of running side by side there for a long time.
Yeah, actually I hadn't thought of that. I've thought about writing a book when I left office, and maybe we could title it Storm Warnings or My Life Dealing with Storms or something.
Now, we know that there's a lot of anxious parents and grandparents and everybody else out there right now with the storm warnings that we've got. And I can tell you right now, they're in capable hands, because working with you all these years, you've got an eye for those things. And you're always out there watching for our kids, no matter what the situation is. And what are we looking at right now as far as the school system is concerned?
Well, first of all, I appreciate you saying that. We have, as you know, when you were sheriff, we took great precautions to make sure schools were safe. As it relates to weather storms, there's a tornado watch, and when there's a watch, the standard procedure is to bring kids in from portables, send various warnings to principals, tell them to be on the lookout, pay attention to their weather radios, etc. Now, if it goes to a warning and kids are still in the building, we hold those kids, go into lockdown, don't allow buses to leave. We invite parents from the outside to come into the building until the warning is lifted. If the buses actually get on the road and there's a warning taking place, transportation notifies them, get to the nearest school, get under a bridge, find a safe place to prevent injury to the kids. Of course, as I said earlier, you can't hold the kids in anticipation of a warning unless you're pretty sure one's coming. Otherwise, parents would be upset that they're not home with them. So we'd like think that we do the things necessary to keep kids safe.
You set up that automatic warning system that calls the parents and the grandparents if they're on the emergency call list. And I think that's one of the best things that's ever been done here, because everybody gets a little bit uneasy anytime something like that, because we've been hit so many times in this area. But now that the calls come out, it gives you prior warning and gives you sufficient information so that you can make your judgment calls and you'll know what to do. And I'm sure even with all of that, the phones will be warmed up today right now.
Oh, absolutely. When I left about 20, 25 minutes ago, they were already starting to ring. Right now, Paula Barnes, Assistant Superintendent James Evans, and Mike Snell from Transportation are kind of monitoring weather warnings. And also, we have a message ready to go out on the messenger to parents advising that we're under a warning if that is the case, and explain what will be done. But, yeah, you're exactly right. The messenger system has been a tremendous purchase. Mm-hmm. It's used to update parents on, for example, when report cards go out, activities mm-hmm. that are taking place in the school, upcoming testing dates. We've just gotten a lot of mileage out of it.
So there's really no need for having any loss of communication with the parents anymore at all. And I can remember back, of course, when you and I were going to school, that wasn't the case. A lot of times you would have parents just flooding the campuses just trying to pick up their kids without any any judgment calls at all being made. And the thing about Rutherford County, has got a lot of kids in the school system, and we're spread out over about 624 square miles of kids. So when you have a alert goes out, it goes and every principal in every school in Rutherford County gets that call, and they're already alerted. And it's just not being alerted. You guys train them. You have been training them for years on how to react to all types of situations like this.
Absolutely. We have a flip chart that every teacher in Rutherford County gets, every principal, on how to respond to a safety issue, or if there's a tornado, or if there's a intruder in the building, or if there's an explosion or a gas leak. We like to think that people know what to do, so there are good things taking place. And another neat thing about the messenger system, it can be tailored for an individual school. For example, if Smyrna High School wants to send out a message saying our basketball team's in the state tournament, they play Tuesday night at 5 o'clock, they can do that. Or our academic banquet is next Thursday at 6 o'clock, please attend parents, you can get your tickets, blah, blah, blah. So, as I said, that has been, or as you said, that's been one of the best purchases we made. It's a great thing. And I also heard you say that you even get messages, because
yes,
I think
do.
Your grandchildren,
yes.
And I've gotten them, I get them myself. So anyway, it's pretty neat.
You know, you have one of the toughest jobs. We were at City Cafe the other day, rating the toughest jobs in Rutherford County. Guess what was number one? Yours. And, you know, a lot of times people in those positions, they do such a great job that a lot of times it doesn't go noticed by the general public as much as it should. But I can tell you, as a citizen of Rutherford County, and I have watched you grow over the years and been a teacher and a coach and all those things, that you have grown up in the system. And I think that's part of the reason why you're at the very top level of superintendents anywhere that I know of, simply because you're able to not only have the experience, but you've got the common sense to make all those judgment calls that have to be made. And we were talking today also that I'm one of those people that really feel like that you're going to leave a deep hole over there for a long time, because it's very difficult to become acclimated to all the things that are going on. It's not one of these, a lot of people kind of view those jobs as 8-hour a day jobs. They're not. Many times they're 18 hours plus days. And I have seen you pour your heart and soul into that job. And you really care about the kids, and you care about our community and care about our schools, even beyond Smyrna, you do.
Right. Yeah, and I appreciate you saying that. And I have had many flattering remarks directed my way over the course of the last several years, in particular since I've announced that I was going to retire. It is a huge job, a huge responsibility, and it's even changed since I've been in office. Of course, from my perspective, you know, one of the big challenges was making sure buildings were built, funding was secured, and make sure schools were safe, make sure principals were no longer just the, you know, the iron hand of the school, but that they understood data and that they could make sure that learning was taking place in the school. And I'm proud to say, through the efforts of our entire team, it certainly isn't the work of Harry Gill. It's the work of assistant principals, principals, teachers, assistant superintendents. You know, we have really molded a team down there where people collaborate, they share, they want to be successful, they want the system to be successful. And we have. We truly are looked upon as one of the best systems in Tennessee. I hear it everywhere I go. Matter of fact, Johnny Chandler at Dixon said, hey, we copied Rutherford County to be our template for improving our district. So just so many good things taking place in this district, and the people should be proud.
You know, part of being a good leader is picking the individuals who are handling a lot of your work. And you've done such a good job. I mean, you put Paula in there and Don's in there, and it just goes on and on. You really have some quality people that are set in there. And I hope you know, when you leave, and one of the things that has aggravated me, I guess, as much as anything, while you've been there, is the 1 year rule or whatever
contract.
It was is set up. It has bothered me because I have not found anybody that was not totally satisfied with the way that you're doing your job. The people that understands the toughness of all the situations that you can be in, and they're sitting right there in front of everybody. They really are. And when a superintendent or somebody like that is at that high level that has so many responsibilities, I've always wondered, you know, they grade the city managers and they grade the superintendents and all that. I don't think that I could grade you with all the responsibilities that you have. I can grade you on what I have seen, all the accomplishments that you have as a superintendent, and I can tell you, I would grade you an A+. And what's the most you can give? What, 5 years on a contract?
I think the TSBA recommends 3 years, and I know Dr. Gilbert with the city got 4 years, and good for her. She's done a good job.
But wouldn't that kind of interfere with a little bit of your day-to-day activities, knowing that you're on a one-year contract and that you're going to be subjected to the interviews a year later?
Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest with you, that's the reason I said I'm not doing this anymore. I felt like I had a couple good years left, but I don't think any district I know of does a one-year contract. Of course, I have stayed almost 9 years, and the average expectancy for a superintendent in a big district is about 3. But I don't think too many people would argue that it's been pretty smooth sailing in Rutherford County. But, you know, to have to do a one-year deal and go back through an evaluation, and it just got old, and I just said, heck, I'm not going to do that anymore.
Now, the school systems are going to be facing a lot of changes coming up with all the evaluations and the test scores and all those things. It's going to be extremely difficult for somebody to come in and be hit in the face with all that, isn't it?
I would suspect so. Even the assistant superintendents, you know, we all have different responsibilities down there. I dabble in a little of all of it. But, you know, as you mentioned, Paula Barnes, who's done a remarkable mm-hmm. job in human resources. Don Odom, who's done a great job as in curriculum. Gary Clardy, who's beloved by all the commission and everyone else for his job as our in charge of the building program. Jeff Sandvig, they're all good people. But it's as you know, having been sheriff, it's completely different than actually being the superintendent. I know some of them probably will apply, and I wish them the best. But it's just a real lonely job. Matter of fact, that's the word Euland Watson used one time and said mm-hmm. it's just the loneliest job he'd ever had. You know, you make decisions every day that impact people, people's livelihood. You know, you hire a principal and you got 20 other applicants that are frustrated and sad they didn't get it. You know, a school says we need 6 teachers, and I say we can't do it, we'll give you 3. There's so many decisions down there that are made by the superintendent. And from my perspective, it's, as Mr. Watson said, it's a lonely job. But it's also, you know, you have to have real thick skin. You can't be very sensitive. If you are, you'll drive yourself nuts worrying about things.
Well, you do have a thick skin. And we've also got a caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard with Harry Gill.
Thank you, Truman.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to just comment on the job that Ms. Michaels has done for him over the years.
Oh. I sure will, but I would ask this. I told Ms. Michaels, and I think you're the gentleman called the last time I was on saying that she ran the system. I told her, and she got a laugh out of that, and I told her I was going to get your name. Will you give me your name?
I'm Eddie Ayers, but I think it was Butch Campbell might have called last time.
Hello, Eddie. Joyce Michaels. Ed, Joyce Michaels is incredible.
Yeah, she is.
She is the probably my best support system with respect to making decisions and, you know, letting you hold it all together during the toughest of times. She's extremely loyal, extremely knowledgeable. I don't know that I've ever worked with anybody I had as much respect for as Joyce. So she's a jewel.
Well, I know she's been a lot of help to you.
She has, absolutely.
Yeah. Thank y'all.
Thank you, Eddie. You know, it's something to have somebody there that takes care of your business, that knows you inside and out, and knows when you have things that are going on that you can't be disturbed and all those things. That makes your life a whole lot easier.
Absolutely. And she knows that I, for example, need reminders. You know, you did remember your folder, didn't you? Or you got that 2 o'clock appointment down. You know, I mean, that's just my mind races. It goes so many different directions. She knows she has to kind of reel me in from that perspective.
You know, the thing about being a superintendent of schools in Rutherford County that has grown so much, it's so easy for somebody to find one little something that may be wrong somewhere, or maybe they have a personality conflict with a principal. Maybe their kids, they don't want their kids to go to the school that they're zoned to, and all of that. A lot of it becomes emotional, doesn't it? When you have your kids involved and you want everything that you consider the best for your child, and then you have the magnet schools. You know, everybody wants to get their kids in the magnet schools, and you have certain rules that are set up where the kid can either get in or not, and then keep going with their grades. And I think that's one of the best programs that you've developed there is the magnet school. I mean, it's just absolutely just great.
Oh, yeah, the magnet school's terrific. You know, one of my goals when we did that was to have a math science kind of program that we could start developing more engineers and something that would be recognized nationally. And I think we're on our way. It's a tremendous thing. But in addition to that, the other silver lining there was, if you recall, we were having all kind of issues at Central Middle School. Mm-hmm. And I personally didn't feel like the kids, the inner city kids, were getting the opportunity maybe some of the other kids were getting. And I thought we could kill two birds with one stone there. Mm-hmm. And if you remember, I lobbied the commission pretty hard to get right. Those two middle schools. And we, you know, the furthest any kid travels is about 5 miles, but we started carrying some of those kids out to Buchanan and Oakland. Mm-hmm. And opened that magnet school, which has been incredible. And you're exactly right. The waiting list on that magnet school is about 200 students per grade, people trying to get in. And I do get a lot of calls for that and others asking if I can help them out. And, you know, that's the kind of thing. I guarantee you that if you're number 2 or 3 or 4 on the list at the magnet school, you know everybody in front of you and everybody behind you. So I don't dabble in those kind of deals. And we do things the right way. You have to earn your way in. But it's amazing. Joyce and I have laughed many times. Number of people that call you, they said, Harry, he's a good friend of mine. Could you get him to call me? And of course, a lot of times you don't even recognize the name, mm-hmm. but yet they claim to be a good friend. But you always call them back and ask. And so many times, you know, they want to go to another school, or their child's phone was taken up by the principal, and they want to know if you'll help them get it back. And there is an element of the public out there that doesn't realize that we got 39,000 kids and 78,000 parents and all kind of other folks that want to talk to the superintendent, but they'll always want to, you know, they want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. They won't deal with an assistant superintendent or somebody else. They're going to talk to the superintendent, and I always try to do that. It's just hard to find time to do it.
And I'm tickled to death as a Murfreesboro Central alumni that it's going back into the high school level again. I never will forget when they closed it down for a middle school. It broke everybody's heart. It really did, because it meant so much to us in our history. And then it seems like when you started, when we got the magnet school going and we're going to have a high school again, it brings some pride back into me. It really does.
Yeah.
And pride is something that should be strong in every school, because I know you got a lot of pride in Smyrna.
Sure.
And Mr. Rates, and you have a long history of that lineage there in Smyrna. And there's nobody sticks together more than Smyrna people. Where they're getting along at all or not, they're going to stick together.
Yeah, they always show up to arm in arm when they have to battle. But, yeah, you're right. It's really neat that next year we'll be adding the senior class to Central Magnet. Mm-hmm. And I remember a few years ago when it was mentioned that we were going to start a magnet school, a 6-12 magnet school, mm-hmm. and I remember Jeff Jordan and might have been Butch Vaughn, two or three others, that started collecting, getting a hold of all the old artifact and trophies mm-hmm. and other things, and have been given, I think, to John Ash, and he's now displaying more and more of those things. So the old central pride and achievements are kind of becoming more and more a part of that school. And it's hard to believe as we reflect back, we talk about Smyrna. That hadn't been too many years ago. It was pretty much Smyrna Central and I think Holloway High School mm-hmm. before we integrated schools. So, of course, now we've got all these big comprehensive high schools. Stewart's Creek is in the pipeline, each of which has about 2,000 kids. But just a reflection of how the community's grown.
And you look at the atmosphere in those large schools. They're like small cities. And a lot of people don't realize that. I mean, to be a principal in those large schools and an assistant principal, that has to be one of the tougher jobs outside of yours. And I was watching a program last night on bullying about some of the terrible things that have happened with some of the teenagers that overreact and maybe they feel like they're not being protected enough. But I can tell you, in the Rutherford County school systems, you guys have been addressing this for years, and you have been trained on it. You have Sheriff's Department, SRO divisions that go in, and they work directly with the teachers and the schools and the guidance counselors. And I can tell you, as a grandparent, and if I was a parent now, I would feel totally confident in my child going to the Rutherford County school system. I really would. And that's been one of the big draws for the growth in Rutherford County is education.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Chamber's done various surveys, and school systems always on the top of their list with respect to people wanting to move in. And I appreciate you saying that. Of course, you, as a sheriff, were responsible for starting the SRO division, and that's I still remember when it came on board. I remember Mr. Rake said, "Oh, heck, we don't need an SRO."
I remember.
He said, "We can handle our own discipline," but it wasn't too long after that. I think he saw the light and said, "Hey, these are a good thing." Now we've expanded to two per high school, and I think we've got every school has an SRO, either part-time or full-time. We've done numerous trainings with those guys on how to deal with, as I said, if there's an active shooter in the building, if there's a hostage situation, if there's other threats, you know, the lockdowns, et cetera. We know specifically what to do, when to do it, and it's a good place. I don't think you can ever fully eliminate any kind of threats in a high school. You know, kids are kids. Some mm-hmm. of them will do crazy things, but we try to get as best equipped to handle it as we can.
When you first became superintendent, what surprised you the most when you came into the job? Some of the responsibilities and maybe some of the attitudes? Because it had to have been a shocker, because I've known a number that have come into that position.
Yeah. The first thing is, I think you've got to prove that you're a man or woman enough for the job. Because mm-hmm. People are going to try to challenge you. They're going to try to find you out. And just the overwhelming nature of the job. I mean, as I say, there's so many responsibilities that are connected to it. And even though you may not be directly responsible for something, I remember thinking, the public thinks you're responsible for everything. Mm-hmm. So you had to kind of wrap my arms around what was going on in all departments and get some kind of, get knowledge with respect to what was going on and make sure that the people under you, even though you want them to have autonomy, you don't want them to have full autonomy. You know, I think our people now know there's certain decisions I'm going to make, but they also know I'm going to support them when they make those decisions.
And then no matter how careful you are or how well-planned, there's always going to be somebody that's going to do something wrong. And then it hits the media, and then all of a sudden one of your schools is plastered all over the front pages in the Tennessean or whatever. And people don't realize how difficult that is to work with. But you have a pre-planned option on how you do everything when it takes something like that into consideration. And you know, isn't it sad that you can have one person out of thousands of educators inside a school system, and then it puts a blight on everybody? Because I know how it is. It happens in almost any business, but especially in education it does, because you expect them to be at a higher level. You expect them to be extremely responsible. And they're, of course, they're in charge of educating all the kids in that particular school that are in their classrooms. But yet, sometimes we overlook what you really have there, the integrity, the knowledge, what they've done for all the kids. You and I have had role models in the classroom all the way through our school system. But yet, it just takes one bad apple making a bad decision, and it just throws everything out of whack.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, as I said, with 39,000 students and 4,600 employees, second largest employer next to Nissan, on any given day, something can go wrong. And regardless how hard you've worked or how much prep has gone into it, no matter how many times you've screened the applicant, how many sessions you've held on professional conduct, or no, how many safety drills you've done, or how hard you've reminded the students this is okay, this is not, something can go wrong. And we're in a society now where, you know, there's Twitter and Facebook and the newspaper, and those are the kind of things that apparently intrigue people, and they like to read about it, and they like to talk about it.
Yeah.
And eventually, if something goes wrong like that, it's going to end up in the paper, end up somewhere, and it's going to be, it's kind of, you know, it's a black eye for the school system, even though I think it's unexpected to expect us to get it right every single time.
What if, and I've had a lot of conversations with people, what if the school board were to come up to you in the morning and say, Harry, we really do need you, which of course they do. And here they got this big search going out and having to interview people and find out what their resumes really are and then judge the person themselves. What if they say, you know, how about a 4-year extension contract?
What did Yogi Bear, wasn't it him who said it ain't over till it's over?
Yeah, I guess that's right, yeah.
I guess you'd have to hear them out, but first of all, I don't anticipate that happening, and secondly,
it seems like the simplest trail to follow to me.
You know, a lot of people do think that.
Yeah.
Either that or they're patronizing me, because I've had letters and phone calls, and I told you earlier, Mr. Jordan, who used to be chairman of the board, called.
Great guy, too.
Yeah, great guy. I love Mr. Jordan. He called three separate times saying, please pull that letter. And actually, I've heard from every single board member that I worked with the exception of one, encouraging me to, hey, you know, don't leave. You know, we appreciate what you're doing. The system's in great shape. Please reconsider. And, you know, that's nice. It's flattering and makes you feel good.
Well, you know, there's offers to be made. And we want to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by the Golden Coin Connection at 2568 South Church Street, and that's beside Gateway Tire Center. And Pastor Larry Dunn of ERO Ministries and partners Chris Chico and Wayne Everly buy scrap gold, jewelry, platinum, coins, and silverware. They have vintage sports collectibles and even some great antiques. And for a fair and honest evaluation of your collectibles, take them by and see Pastor Larry Dunn and his partners today at the Golden Coin Connection at 2568 South Church Street or 5631 New Nashville Highway. And give them a call. It's 890-2646.
Be
a hero for kids with cancer. Join Bald in the Borough's second annual St. Baldrick's event on March 16th at 4 p.m. located in Lanes, Trains and Automobiles in Murfreesboro. You can be a part of the excitement, whether you shave your head, volunteer or donate. You'll be giving hope to those kids fighting childhood cancers. Go to baldintheborough.com and see how you can be a hero too. Sponsored by Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
When severe weather strikes, we break in.
The National Weather Service has issued a tornado watch in effect for Rutherford County and much of Middle Tennessee until 8 o'clock this evening. Severe storms could produce isolated tornadoes along with wind damage and a small chance of hail with storms. Again, a tornado watch in effect for Rutherford and surrounding counties until 8 o'clock this evening. I'm Brian Barrett from the Weather Eye Weather Center.
Play it again, sports!
Your fitness headquarters.
Get more for your money with new and used fitness equipment from Play It Again Sports. Name brands, unbeatable prices, and new equipment arriving daily.
Trade in, trade up.
Play it again, sports!
On Thompson Lane.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by AmeriCare Pest Control. The Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS. And the Omni Hot Restaurant in Smyrna.
In today's tough economy, there is one real estate team that stands out from the rest. Ann Hoken Associates has built a reputation of success throughout Rutherford County. Ann's professional staging and exceptional service will combine to help sell your home in a timely manner. When it's your time to buy or sell, just ask Ann.
This is Ann Hoke at Keller Williams Realty. I would love to personally talk with you. Call me today at 397-4024. Sell faster and buy smarter with Ann Hoken Associates.
This is Wednesday, February the 29th, a leap year day. And the artwork of Murfreesboro City School students continues in the rotunda at the Murfreesboro City Hall. That's open Monday through Friday from 8 in the morning until 4:30 in the afternoon. A great show. You need to check it out. The Red Cross is having a blood drive tomorrow from 9 in the morning until 6 in the evening. That's over at the Red Cross office here in Murfreesboro, 501 Memorial Boulevard, the former Chamber of Commerce building. There are two GED adult classes tomorrow night. One's at the Patterson Community Center at 521 Mercury Boulevard, and the other one's at the Murfreesboro City Schools Family Learning Center at 607 Bridge Avenue. Child care is provided at both classes, and they're both free. Phone 893-4614 for more information. And the Church Women United meet Friday morning over at the Northminster Presbyterian Church at 708 West Clark Boulevard. The registration's at 9:30 Friday morning, and the meeting begins at 10. That's this Friday morning, the Church Women United. And the Sunshine Players present the Ransom of Red Chief Friday and Saturday night at 7 and Sunday at 2. Those are Good Neighbor events.
Hello, my name is Lance Jenkins, candidate for property assessor. As your next property assessor, I will ensure that every property owner is treated fair and equally. I have over 17 years experience in the property assessor's office, serving from 1987 to 2004 as deputy assessor under former assessor Tommy Sanford. I would appreciate your vote for property assessor. I am Lance Jenkins, and I approve this message, Lynn E. Jenkins, treasurer. Vote Lance Jenkins, property assessor.
At Todd's Complete Auto Care on Southeast Broad Street, we now have a European specialist on staff. Now you don't have to go to the dealer for service and repair on Mercedes, BMW, Volvo, Jaguar, and other Europeans. From oil changes to engine work, we can take care of it on foreign, domestic, and European vehicles. 962-9050.
Now more of The Truman Show with Truman Jones on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with Harry Gill, and this portion of the show is brought to you by At Home Care, and that's Melissa Warren's business, and they come into your home 24/7, take care of all the responsibilities inside your house, and also run errands for you, and all you have to do is hit your remote, turn on the TV, enjoy life, and you know, enjoy your house. You don't need to move out of your home, just stay right there. And if that sounds like something that is something you'd like to try, give them a call at 713-4639 or check them out on the website at www.athomecaretennessee.com. Well, Harry, the school system has changed a lot over the years than what you and I remember when we were growing up in here. What is what are some of the big changes that have really been a positive thing and some that may have been maybe not really an encouraging part of the education process? And that's a hard question.
It is, but I'd have to say accountability. I know I could probably get beat up over this, but there are a lot of measures in place now to ensure that schools are, teaching all groups of kids. It's forced us to have remediation and an intervention where kids that are struggling, they get a second dose of something, and kids that are high achievers are getting a more rigorous curriculum offered to them. Mm-hmm. Same time, some of the, I'm going to counter what I just said by saying some of the rigor and some of the accountability is unreasonable too.
Right.
What's happened in Rutherford County is that we have, as everyone knows, been the fastest growing county in Tennessee. I think since my time on board, we picked up almost 10,000 kids, but many of those kids were English limited learners. Mm-hmm. We've got the third highest ELL population in Tennessee behind Memphis and Nashville. That presents tremendous challenges for the district because, a kid comes in here who's Hispanic that doesn't speak any English, and you get him when he's 14 or 15 years old and they enroll as a ninth grader. He's supposed to graduate with the kids that do speak English. Mm-hmm. And it's just impossible to pull that off. And the demographics of the district changed. We have a really high poverty district now versus, I think when I first started, we were about 30%. We're about 40 now.
Wow.
And so, those kids can learn too, but there are challenges it presents. Many are from single home families. I think we have 800 kids that are considered homeless mm-hmm. that attend Rutherford County Schools. I believe it's 800, maybe a few less than that. And they too are expected to graduate in 4 years in a summer, and we're supposed to graduate 94.9% of all kids that enter in the ninth grade, which means you can't lose but 5 out of 100, otherwise there are consequences. So, those are some of the big changes that have occurred. Funding is always going to be an issue.
Yeah.
My good friend Joe Jernigan one time said, we're doing great, and he said, we're doing it on a shoestring budget, so to speak. And I said, we could use more money. And he said, why? And I went on to explain, that's where you could provide additional programs for kids that struggle. Mm-hmm. You could reduce the pupil-teacher ratio. You could buy computer software that would help, autistic kids. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that extra money would do. And but the reality is Rutherford County, with the massive building program, has exhausted so much of our revenue right. to build schools. Also proud to say that in my 9 years, we've only added 9 portables to a fleet that was at 130 when I took over. So not meaning to brag, but I'm pretty proud of that accomplishment.
I'm proud of you, too. I mean, you look at the responsibilities that the legislators and even the federal government has put on you, that are impossible things for you to complete. And that has got to be totally frustrating, because not all of those things that they want out of the school system are going to be the right thing for the kids. And that's the thing that's so frustrating, because now every kid is different. Every single kid is different. And you expect, or they expect them to respond at the same level, seems totally absurd. And then a lot of time there's a price tag on there. If you don't meet these particular guidelines, we're going to take some of your money, or you're not going to get it, period. That has to be totally ridiculous.
Yeah, there's been some really strange stuff come out of the legislature this year. I mean, it started with teacher evaluations. Mm-hmm. We all are probably tired of hearing about that. But, people that have proven themselves as effective teachers, you have to observe them 4 times a year. The new teachers or apprentice teteachers, they have to be observed 6 times a year. It just completely overwhelmed administrators. All the paperwork, the time it took, they couldn't tend to other duties. In addition, we had to hire 5 part-time evaluators, and we chose people that had retired. They work a 100-day contract, But as you said, that was another one of those unfunded mandates where we had to pick up the tab. And that was pretty much a beast for us to do that. There have been others recently, and it really was troublesome to me. The governor was going to allow districts to increase the pupil-teacher ratio by five at each grade level.
That made no sense at all.
No, when we're trying to really, you know, trying to reduce the number of kids in school. And as I told someone, schools, you know, the square footage of those rooms were built for either 20, 25, or 30 according to the grade level. And when if you increase that by five, you are technically could increase by 25% the number of students in any given school. So, you know, a 1,000-seat elementary could go to 1,250 over a summer. And we just couldn't handle all that. So I don't know. We were talking yesterday and had a few laughs. I think sometimes people just get down there and say, hey, everybody else has done a bill. I'm going to do one without much thought. I know they never call us to get our input with respect to, is that a good bill? Do you think this is a good idea? Even though I know and have a pretty good fair amount of respect for most of our legislatures.
Well, some of the impossible things that they put on you, I absolutely have no prior attention. I think that's obvious, and I think you will agree that a lot of this is dictated by money. I think that is the big thing that we're looking at, and you know better than I do that when you build a school, you know, there's a lot of money thrown into building a school, but the big part of dealing with the school is going to be able to man that school, put the teachers in, and dealing with all the kids and all the responsibilities that you have of raising the kids and making sure that they're being taken care of, not just in the classroom, but in other ways too. And I have, when the evaluators go in, the raters in the classroom, are they just grading the teacher on the grades that the students have made during that period of time, or do they deal with the relationship between the kids and the teacher and what the teacher has done as a role model to build up their confidence and their abilities and those things? To me, that would be one of the toughest things in the world to grade a teacher, especially if you're just grading a teacher on evaluating the grades.
Yeah, actually, 35% of the teacher's evaluation will come from test scores. It's pretty interesting, since PE teachers and maybe music teachers, art teachers, and others that don't have tested subjects, they have to say, well, I don't have 35% to be scored on, so I'm going to let the English 1 teacher or the 6th grade math teacher or the 3rd grade, that's the scores I'm going to use as my 35%, which makes absolutely no sense. But back to your question, the evaluators, principals, assistant principals, and the 5 evaluators we've hired have been trained to look for particular things in a lesson, you know, pacing, content, curriculum appropriate, etc. And you know, I think they've done a good job.
And I think, well, we've got a caller on the line. We'll get back to that caller. Welcome aboard with Harry Gill.
Hey, Truman.
Hey,
Bud Ray.
Hey, Bud. How are you?
Yeah, doing fine.
Good.
Doing fine. Just wanted to call. I listen to you. Enjoy your program each day. Just wanted to call Mr. Gill and tell him what a great job he's done. I don't understand why they didn't extend his contract. Doesn't make sense with a great job he did. And but you never know sometimes what's on people's minds. But you couldn't ask any better job. Yeah, Hewlin did, as I told before, once I called, did a good job. I think Mr. Gill picked up right there and took it on. Did a great job under hard times and more regulations and stipulations. And I'd like to see him still stay. I know he's somewhat disappointed with, I think, the fact that they didn't recognize him a little bit more and all the things he's doing. But I've known him all the way back from a young man. He's always had a desire to excel, and he's done a great job there, and I just wanted him to know that.
Well, I appreciate it, Mr. Rakes. Also, while I got him on there, I've already called to apologize. Mr. Rakes was recognized with the Coon Victory Award in Smyrna for his contribution for many years, and that was a pretty neat honor. I couldn't be there. I was out of state. But, you know, I'm sure that there were five board members that were going to vote to extend my contract, but it was just, as I think he said, it was just kind of a feeling of being underappreciated in the one-year contract, and I just never really understood why the board, to be honest with you, couldn't see the successes of the system, which, you know, I think if we were failing, I certainly would have got the blame, and I felt like I deserved at least a good bit of the credit for it. But at any rate, it's all good. I know Mr. Rakes goes over to Smyrna Elementary. He doesn't know I know this. And walk some, so I might just join him on the on the walking track.
Can you make it a threesome?
Yeah, we
would they let me in Smyrna? See, I didn't even realize that he had won the Coon Victory Award.
Yes, he did. Absolutely.
Congratulations, Mr. Rake. That's a high honor.
Thank you a lot. And I know Mr. Gill's mother's so proud of him, and she's still living and still proud of all of her family, and I know that his daddy would be exceptionally proud of him. But anyway, I just want to call and thank him, and again, I enjoy your program. I just want you to know that.
Thank you, bud.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate him mentioning my mother. She'll be 90 years old here in a few weeks.
Bless her heart. Yeah, I bet she had a referee many a fight between you and Joe, didn't she?
Well, they didn't really last that long. I take Joe out pretty quick.
He was pretty easy, wasn't he?
Yeah, it wasn't much there.
And we want to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Pearl and Howerton Automotive. That's Mark Pearl from Murfreesboro and John Howerton. And their business is located at 2006 North Main Street in Shebbleville, Tennessee. And if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, pull them up on the internet, pearlhowerton.com, and call them at 1-800-264-6800. Toll free, and better yet, take about a 25-minute drive down 231 South. You might maybe need to pick a better day today, though, because things are a little unstable. But take a ride down towards Shebbleville on the left just before you get into downtown Shebbleville, and go in and see the nice people. Have a good day, and I guarantee you, you will not get a better deal anywhere.
We elected a good, competent man in 2008 to be Rutherford County's property assessor. Bill Boner has been fair to everyone. He is the best qualified candidate. Bill Boner has received the UT Certified Public Administrator designation, a Head Start volunteer recipient. Plus, he has been a great property assessor for 4 years. Let's re-elect Bill Boner for Rutherford County property assessor.
I'm Bill Boner, and I approve this message.
Hello, this is Truman Jones. We have a new sponsor and one that you're going to be delighted with. It's National Healthcare, National Healthcare Corporation right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And this is where life is celebrated. Discover a different kind of care, one that ensures that you're surrounded by people who make a difference in your life. In 11 states, patients and residents feel right at home at National Healthcare Corporation's more than 130 affiliated healthcare centers and home care offices. Their family of facilities delivers exceptional rehabilitative skilled nursing and extended care in locations that are close to home and family. In line with their longtime commitment to provide a continuum of care to those who need their services at any age. And want to let you know that this is a local business started here, even though it's pretty much all through the Southeast. National Healthcare, Murfreesboro, where life is celebrated.
If you love college basketball, there's nothing like the madness of March. If you're a fan of the Sun Belt Conference, the place to be March 3rd through the 6th is Hot Springs, Arkansas. For the 2012 Conference Basketball Tournament, ticket packages for the entire tournament are available for $128 at your local Sun Belt Schools ticket office. Don't miss out on 4 days of fun in Hot Springs, Arkansas, America's first resort. The Sun Belt's top teams will battle it out for a trip to the dance. With new rivalries being made, championships being crowned, and dreams coming true. Get your Sun Belt Conference Tournament tickets today.
You've known him for years. Now you can visit with him every day. It's The Truman Show, continuing right now on WGNS, AM and FM.
Welcome back with Harry Gill. And You know, we got tournament time going on. We've talked a lot about education. We haven't talked about any of your episodes as coach for quite a few years. You were one of the top coaches in the state of Tennessee.
Well, thank you. I had some really good teams. I remember the first game I coached, we weren't so high. We got beat 81-35. I think we won 7 games the first year, which was after Smyrna won 1 game the year before. In the fourth year, we got to the state championship game. And I think through 76 through 83, we got the state or sub, 4 times, sub-state twice, won, golly, something like 260 games. Mm-hmm. Won a state, finished second, finished third. So, yeah, we had some good teams. And generally, you could equate that to I had good players.
Who's the best player you ever had?
Kim Webb.
Now, she was amazing.
She was incredible. And
where is she now?
She actually, I think she teaches in Nashville, maybe coaches in Nashville. I hadn't seen her in years.
Why is Middle Tennessee such a hotbed for girls basketball players? Is it because of the coaching? Because I know the coaching's always been a very high level right through here.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a big part of it. You know, when I coached, Campbell Randon was kind of the man, and Fred Shelton, mm-hmm. Yeah, Danny Lewisburg. You know, what happens is that you get 2 or 3 good teams, and if you don't work your players and work yourself to death, you're out of luck. So everybody just work. Mm-hmm. And that is held true with Rutherford County. It's incredible the athletic programs we have, and band programs too, for that matter. Mm-hmm. But you know, you look at football, Smyrna's won the state, Oakland's won the state, Riverdale's won the state, Blackman's gotten up there now.
I think we're the only county that has 4 state championship different schools.
I wouldn't be at all surprised.
I think we are.
Yeah. But, you know, Riverdale girls are pretty awesome. I know Oakland had a good year. There's just so many good athletic teams in the county. And getting back to your question, I do think a lot of it's coaching. Now, of course, they do all these AAU teams and mm-hmm. summer travels. But for some reason, Middle Tennessee is a hotbed for so many athletic teams.
Did you ever coach against Rick Ensel?
Yes, absolutely.
Tell me how he was to coach against Rick. But both of you guys are animated. Both of you are tough.
Yeah, absolutely. Rick was early on. AAU was coming into its own, and Rick put 2 teams together. I think a 14-16, a 17-18-year-old team, and I coached one, and Campbell Brandon coached the other, and Rick was our assistant, and he was in the learning stages. You know, I guess it's flattering. He chose me and Campbell to kind of pick our brains. But we played him in a Christmas tournament one time, and I had a really good team, and he did too. I think they beat us 3 or 4 points. He got ahead and froze a ball on us.
You look at these SEC tournaments and the Sun Belt and all of those, and they're covered with Tennessee players. I mean, of course, I had Nelson Smotherman on yesterday. You probably know Nelson. He takes care of all the stats for the TSSAA and goes all the way back, I think, in the 1920s. And one of the things that he said was that there has been more attention paid to the girls in basketball because it seems like it's always been a big draw around here to watch the girls play. And we've had some absolutely just unbelievable girls. I mean, they've played all over the country, yeah. Some of them have.
Yeah, I remember playing Mount Juliet 2 or 3 times in the sub-state where they're at Ball State, which set their attendance record. We had almost 6,000 people playing in the state championship game out at Murphy Center with close to 10,000 people. And almost every time we'd have any kind of competition in a home game, if we played 11 at Oakland Riverdale, we'd have a packed house in Smyrna. And many of those would leave after the girls' games and wouldn't watch the boys' game, even though we had a pretty decent boys' team. But, yeah, there's a tremendous following for girls basketball around here.
What are you going to do when you retire, if you retire?
Well, you know, I may play golf a little bit. I might try fishing. I have had some other offers. I don't know. I'm going to try it out. You know, I was talking to my good friend Steve Waldron just yesterday, and, you know, he brought out that you know, I've always been in – jobs of that great stressful jobs. You know, I started out 22 years old as head coach at Smyrna High and did that 16 years, then became a principal and then became the superintendent. So it might be, you know, it might be nice just to kick back and relax a little bit, but I don't
it
know.
It ain't going to happen.
I don't know. If it may not be my DNA. I'll just have to wait and see.
I tell you what, when you've been going at a rate of 100 miles an hour ever since you were in your early 20s, and then all of a sudden you want to slow down, the accelerator is not going to stay slowed down. It's not. I know you too well. And you're going to get involved in something unless some miracle happens that maybe a note comes across your desk that we've got to keep you here and maybe offer a few more years on your extension or whatever. And you're still a young man, fairly young. I mean, you don't look young anymore after being superintendent, but you're still kind of young. And your poor wife has had to put up with all that stuff. Of course, that's another thing you got to deal with.
Yeah, that's well, I mean, none of us look like we once did. I mean, I used to have dark hair, and you used to. I only remember you with gray hair, to be honest. But
you don't remember me with anything but gray?
Yeah.
Huh. I haven't been old that long, big boy.
But at any rate, I don't know. We'll just see how things shake out.
But you're going to stay close to home, right? You're going to stay
I mean, this has been my home. And, you know, I knew going into this job, one of the big risks was I took over the district at age 53. Mm-hmm. And you know that the odds are against you staying 9 years or 10 years. I mean, it's a 3 or 4 year job, typically a big district. And the reason is because, as you alluded to, on any given day, something could go wrong that would turn 2 or 3 board members against you, and they could vote you out. So, you know, to keep 5 or 6 board members happy for 9 years is pretty much a miracle. So, you know, I probably, as I said earlier, had a couple years left. But the good news is I got a good retirement. I can draw Social Security. I just turned 62. But, you know,
I don't think it's as much how much you're going to miss it. I think the most telling thing is how much we're going to miss you.
Well, thank you.
And I think that's the thing that stands out in everybody's mind. Everybody's very appreciative of what you've done and the accomplishments that you have been able to bring to the school system here. But people don't realize, if they're close to it at all, how much of a void that leaves when you've got all that experience. And to be perfectly honest with you, you've got somebody that has a strong back and a strong spine. And if something comes across your desk that you feel like is not something that needs to be part of our school system, you know how to say no. And that's not something, just like right now with what's going on with the changes in the education system. I know that you're up there fighting tooth and nail to make sure that whatever happens is going to be the right thing for our kids. And that's something that we really will miss.
Well, I appreciate that. And Mr. Rakes alluded to Mr. Watson. Mr. Watson, you know, he was strong.
He was
tough. He was willing to say no. And, you know, you can't take a straw poll vote before you make big decisions. You have to do what you think is in the best interest of the system and live with that decision. So it can be tough.
Do we get to say bye to you when you get ready to head out, if it's this year or 10 years from now?
Well, I'm not sure what you got in mind. I know I heard you on here with Kevin Arnold one day and talked about him doing the moonwalk. I'm not going to do the moonwalk or anything
come
like
on.
That.
I think we can find something even better than that for you, big boy.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I'm not one that's much in tune with big celebrations or anything, but anyway. I appreciate the kind words.
On behalf of everybody in Rutherford County, I appreciate what you've done for our kids. I really do.
Well, thank you, Truman.
And we're going to miss you. And that's all of our show today. And tomorrow we have Maestro Joe Lee, who is going to be on at 2 o'clock. And then Friday, we're going to have Myers Parsons Sr. on.
Right.
So that's going to be a great show.
Yeah,
we'll see you guys tomorrow.